Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com.
Yeah! Episode 300, dog.
Wow.
Episode 300.
300 fucking episodes. 300 hours of us talking. There's nothing that Evan loves more.
That's a lot.
Yeah, if you think about that and you quantify it, that we actually have spoke for probably 300, if not more, hours.
More, because some of these shows were cut, and some of the audience doesn't even know some of the shows that were burned. Jared and I did one maybe 3 weeks ago that was so awful.
Really? I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, because we deleted it the second we walked out of that room.
Really?
It was probably some of the worst shit we've ever said on the planet. And if that episode aired, I think Black Rifle Coffee, somebody would have torched it to the ground within seconds after it aired.
Wow.
Okay. Well, then I don't want to know
even exist anymore. Like, nowhere on anybody's hard drive. This isn't one of those things that's going to pop up later.
I mean, it wasn't that bad. It was just really stupid.
Really?
We were laughing against each other.
I'm not even going to bring up Tardos for Taylor. That's for another. That's for a private moment. That's for an intimate moment. That is not for the public's ears.
Well, on a fun setting there, we have Crispy, a.k.a. Omar Avia, on the show today. It actually goes the other way, but I'm conditioned to say Crispy these days. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Kind of battling an infection, but I'm good.
Yeah, I gave Crispy an infection.
Yep, I'm sorry.
Well, I always give him affection, but by giving him affection, sometimes I give him an infection.
Yeah. Yes.
It's on his, it's on the good leg actually. Right.
Yeah. I knew I shouldn't have came to your house.
Yeah.
I should have just gone with Evan.
God.
A lot of us have felt the same way the night after.
You know,
like, you don't remember what happened after nine, after Matt made you a drink.
You're just sore.
I'm just like roofing all my guy friends.
Well, wait,
just like, yeah.
The first time I did stay at your house, I woke up all scraped up and I was like, what happened? And you were like, oh, you fell off the lawnmower.
No. I put catnip in all your orifices and just put a couple felines in there. That's what that was from. I didn't accost you. That was. You were covered in pussy. But
you know, I didn't think that was going to happen. I brought him a freaking pig that I smoked for like 8 hours, and then I leave sick. And I was like, all right, cool.
Just for clarification, I didn't get you sick. But yes, the pig was fucking amazing. Crispy shows up with his giant-ass cooler, just throws it down, pops it open, and there's... How big was that pig? Probably 50 pounds?
Yeah.
That thing's delicious. I got like 6 bags of pork in my fridge still.
I kept sending JT the pictures, and I was like, that's what you get for not being here.
It's fucking delicious.
Jared's on a diet, and he's at fucking spin class now. That was the text I got last night. You want to?
You were in spin class?
I did.
I went to spin last night. It was fun.
Hot spin?
Yeah, it was really hot.
Did you wear the spandex as well? Or?
I did not. I definitely wore my cat shorts.
You know, it's kind of a creepy move, but if you go into a spin class and sit in the back, and then when they have to stand up, it's not the worst visuals ever.
That's what I told Justin when I came in. I go, you realize that this spin place is right next to your house, and it was nothing but 30 women in there. And he was like, oh, check it out.
Justin who?
Our Justin. In the other room.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. It's like, who are you hanging out with?
Yes. First name basis already. Oh, me and Justin. It's just the dude I met at the bar. He comes over and we do spin class and hot yoga together.
He's my spin class guy.
Well, I completely killed myself way above my ability because I was there with Koala, and the instructor definitely kept looking at her and looking at me if I was going to like match him and not puss out. And so I was seeing the wizard by the time this was over, because every time he cranked that up, I'd crank it up a little more.
Oh,
and we were making eye contact, like, yeah,
dude,
bitch, I'm going for it.
A treadmill on the 3 setting really fucks the dude up, doesn't it, Jared?
Yeah. who is Koala, and why are you using...
Nobody, don't worry about it.
That's his little unicorn. It's his little lady friend that he won't even tell any of us the real name.
Ah, Jesus.
Yeah, not ready for the public.
Yeah, it is. She's been all over Instagram, Jared. You've plastered pictures up.
Just
like
secretly, you see? No tags.
Well, no. I mean, I just screenshot her face and run a Google image search, and I found her. So it is what it is.
There was a couple Drinking Bros that went through my entire who I follow and nailed it, narrowed it down to five, and then finally found it.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
wow. The creep's strong.
It's the internet. We know. Everybody finds out everything.
Yeah. Yeah. They really do.
They really do.
They really do.
You can't hide anymore. Yeah, exactly. They won't be able to find Alex Jones anymore after yesterday.
What happened?
All the stuff got deleted. Gone.
Banished from YouTube, banished from Facebook, banished from Spotify.
Twitter.
Podcast, every podcast in his entire library is nuked. Everything across the board.
Did someone delete him, or did he just check out and say I'm over
it? It was a coordinated attack between Facebook, Google, and Spotify, and they did it at 3 in the morning on Sunday nights, and he woke up in the morning, and it was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh
my God.
They're classifying it as hate speech, but look, to me, CNN is hate speech, so why not delete their fucking pages? So I don't know. I think this is happening more and more, and I think it's happening to you guys, by the way. And I'm being completely dead serious when I say that. I watched that Instructor Earl video, which is one of my favorites, by the way, Evan. I think that character should be reoccurring.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite sketches you guys have ever made. I looked at the numbers, and it didn't make sense, man. With the amount of shares and likes, that the numbers don't add up to what that video is and how great it is. So. I genuinely believe this is happening to you guys. They're just shadow batting you guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a different theory. I have a completely different theory because it's not just on us. It's across the board, all over the place. So what I think has happened in the last year is I think major cable networks that are worth trillions of dollars and big TV networks that are worth a lot of money have probably approached Zuckerberg and been like, you know, hey, you can't just give a kid in his basement in Connecticut access to 55 million eyeballs for free. Like you're single-handedly dismantling network television and ad sales for things like the Super Bowl and stuff like that. So I'm on the edge of believing that I think there had to have been a meeting somewhere with all these major network heads. And they're just like, asking like, hey, you can't give this kind of access to everybody.
I like that theory, and I'll tell you why. Like I'm one of the few people who still has cable TV left, and on my cable TV you can now get on Dish. I can still get Netflix. I can get Netflix on there, and then YouTube is offered. Before that wasn't even offered, so there had to have been some deal cut where it was just like, hey man, can we come together so that people are still buying cable boxes and give you these apps so that way people aren't nuking cable altogether? So I think you're onto something with that, actually.
The real question in all of this is, why the fuck do you still have cable television?
Exactly. I've one very simple answer
it's like
for you.
Yep. They have Teslas now, and you're in the fucking, you know, whatever that.
He's got AOL.
100%. And the reason.
Like, hey, man, what's the Wi-Fi password? He's like, you mean the number to dial in?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, this shit's 56K, bitch.
Exactly. So there's one thing that's holding me to cable, and that's it. It's live sports. So the major networks still own live sports. To watch them in real time, you still need a form of cable or you can't watch it. Otherwise, I would have housed that entire goddamn thing because I don't watch anything on live TV except for sports, and that's it.
Hey, by the way, this is super fucking sidebar conversation, but the story that you did about your coconut water was the funniest thing I've seen in a very long time. And the fact that like 7 hours later, you decided to shoot another one of it just sitting there, like legit had me LOL because you're such a weird fuck.
I miss this and one. You're going to have to explain it to me.
He's just like doing the Ross thing. He's like, yo man, I got this coconut water. It's like so good. And he did like three stories. And then like 6 hours later, just did like a zoom in filter on the coconut water and with no context whatsoever. That kind of style of comedy makes me laugh where it doesn't make sense on any level, but it's there. I love that shit. It's like the dude in the bathtub with those all the
slapping the fish.
Yeah,
that's the how to basic.
God, yeah, how to basic.
Fucking
great.
They're so good. Jack Mandeville had a great video
yesterday. The one.
Yeah,
it was amazing. Oh, I tried to share it, and I couldn't figure out how to download it. And then all it came up on my stories was it just a picture of Hitler that said Hitler equals Hitler. And I was like, I should probably just delete that. I don't know if that's a good thing for me to just be propagating out there.
Jack is great at those motion videos, like carrying a quick 1 minute message. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, let me ask you guys a question. Going back to the Alex Jones things, like I've noticed that on my page where sometimes things get deleted or you know, that censorship stuff. And I used to get worked up over it, and I was always mad because I was like, man, why is my videos getting deleted? It's hunting. It's I'm sharing what I love with other people. But I came to an understanding. It's like, this is their platform. This is Instagram's platform or Facebook or whatever. So they can do whatever they want with it.
Oh, you're a victim to
like,
them.
At, yeah. At the end of the day, they can do whatever they want with that platform because it belongs to them. And then you always see people like, oh, I'm going to start this. And then it goes nowhere. And then all you see all over social media is people complaining about stuff like that. But like I said, I don't agree with what they did. But I mean, do we have the right to complain? It's their platform. We're using it.
It's a privately owned company, all of these. And this was I put a post up about it yesterday on Twitter, and a lot of people raged with me and against me on this. And I just said, man, we're finally here that we're censoring people. And everybody was like, look, these are privately owned companies. They have the right to do whatever they want. That's true. But you take somebody like Black Rifle Coffee or Matt, the way you guys have built your business is through Facebook. You guys have brought in a ton of views and content and all this shit essentially for free to them. Yes, you've been able to sell your products off of it. But you take somebody like Alex Jones, who spent fucking 12 years of his life building up these channels on these privately owned networks, and now they can just nuke them like that. It's fucking crazy to me, and it feels like a form of censorship. Today, they pulled a guy named Tommy Robinson, who's huge over in... He's the Alex Jones of England, essentially. They deleted his entire Instagram today. So Instagram took him down for the same thing and said, you're a conspiracy theorist and you're too far right and you're gone. They have the right, but I just... It's really fucking shitty, man, because there is no other way to promote yourself other than a website or a fucking bullhorn.
They're publicly traded, but yeah, I mean, that's the risk you absorb when you're using someone else's platform to distribute your content, right? They overall have the last say in whether you agree with it or not. I mean, it fucking sucks, but...
I look at it like this, which is, you know, when you get on a plane, you're flying somewhere and you're paying for a service on somebody else's aircraft. And... if everybody agrees there's a person on the plane that they don't want on the plane, they're removed.
Right.
And so as much as you might want to agree or disagree, it's their platform. So I would probably err on the fact that it's in Omar's point, which is it's their platform. They can do what the fuck they want. You know, we are allowed to put our content on there and we have to play by their rules. And if we break their rules, then... we know the consequences of that, and we've been playing that game with these guys for, you know, 2+ years.
Yeah, I mean,
where we're like, oh, we can't post that because, okay, there's a gun facing directly towards the camera. We know that at this point,
right?
And we know, okay, it's their platform. I can't be completely inebriated and walk on a plane and start fucking yelling at people, or I'm going to be removed from the plane. I know that before I go, and if I do, I'm going to be removed. There's the other side of that case, which says at a certain point, a platform will become like a public service.
Yes.
And at that point, then it's open to all. And this is the Starbucks case where they were leveraging the fact that there are so many Starbucks and it's considered public use. And that's where they had to open up their bathrooms to the public because... right. of the point of saturation. Now, I don't agree with that because as a business owner, I never want the government to force us to serve somebody that we don't. So I'm going to live by their rules just based on the fact that as a business, I never want an outside influence or the public to force me. If somebody came to us and said, hey, you know what? You have to sell coffee to the Socialist Party. I would say, go fuck yourself. Because we don't support it, nor are we socialists or communists. Go fuck yourself. We're never going to do it. So for me, when I look at it, I'm like, okay, we know the rules. We know what we have to play by. I don't want to be forced to do it. So if they don't want to be forced to do it, we have to kind of, it is kind of freedom of speech and it is private ownership. And at a point you have to say, you know what? I don't want that form of censorship, nor do I want the government to mandate me to do something that I don't want to do with my business. So that's the way that I look at it, but that's just my two cents.
Gotcha. I want to ask this question because a listener posed this to me today, this morning, and he said, hey, just out of curiosity, if the Alex Jones thing happened to Black Rifle Coffee, if they took you guys off of Facebook and YouTube, how much business would you lose? Because there, you know, the speculation is that Alex Jones is going to lose, you know, a gajillion dollars from this. And I tend to agree. How about you guys? Because I was thinking about that, too. I was like, shit, man, if you guys lost Facebook and YouTube and all that stuff, wouldn't that be a massive part of your business gone?
Yeah, I mean, those are successful channels that we market on, of course, you know, but that's, again, where you come to this exact situation where it's like you have to essentially play by the rules on someone else's platform for that exact reason, because if you keep breaking the rules and there's going to be consequences for that, and then you're, what's the overall effect? I mean, if you poke the bear enough, you're going to get fucked up, you know, and it's the reality that we live in, whether you agree with it or not, you know.
I would lean to say, though, like Alex Jones's audience is so diehard about that stuff that this may be a speed bump for him, but it gives him an option to launch his own channel that he directs people. And they I think they're all diehard enough to follow him to wherever he ends up going.
Yeah, this could actually turn out to be favorable for InfoWars, because people will have no other place than to consume his content
than on his site,
than on InfoWars and places where he can post his content. So this could actually increase the overall value of not only Alex Jones, but then InfoWars, because it's shifting all his traffic to one location, which he ultimately controls.
And you know how people are. You just blasted this all over the internet this morning, this story, and
it's national news.
Yeah, they're going to be like, wait, they're trying to stop us from doing this. People that never even visited InfoWars are going to see it because they want to know why they're not allowed to see it.
Well, that was my next question. I was like, because, you know, with YouTube and everything, it gets so much access to different people all over the world that probably never knew who he was. And now that that's gone, of course, his followers are going to follow him to his page, whatever he starts. But what about that other people that never saw him but found him for whatever reason online? Like, is that going to cut into his numbers, or like
I would imagine he got ad revenue from YouTube, right, Matt?
A lot. Yeah, of it, I'm sure. I mean, YouTube is very subjective in their monetization process. I mean, if I have probably 1/3 of all of my videos demonetized based off of them being deemed age restrictive and, you know, violent, because it's like the ISIS button. I don't make any money off of ad revenue on that. But those are similar things where, like, I absorb that risk. Like, I'm not there to necessarily make money off the channel. I'm there to provide entertainment. And that's why I don't really care that they demonetize me, because it's their platform. And I want that content to live there. So, you know, it's kind of meet in the middle.
Man. Yeah. It's strange. I kind of agree with you. I think people will follow him no matter where he goes. As of today, he's building an app that's supposed to be available shortly. What I don't understand, though, is if you're going to pull him off of iTunes and all that shit, aren't they the ones that are supplying the app to people, like, you know, Apple and Android?
But was Apple part of this?
They were. Yeah, so they got together with Zuckerberg, Tim Cook, and they did a coordinated attack and pulled him. So all of the podcasts are gone in Spotify, everything. And then all of his videos on YouTube are gone as well. They deleted the page entirely, and they gave him a lifetime banishment.
So, that's crazy.
So there's no chance of him coming back.
Yeah, and as a guy that's has spent a little bit of time on YouTube looking at conspiracy theories because it's a hobby of mine, Alex Jones is not he's not the craziest kooky kook magoo out there propagating conspiracy theories. I mean, there are fucking thousands of channels on conspiracy theories, and some of them are the craziest. It is the craziest fucking rabbit hole you'll ever go down. It's amazing. Like, it's, you know, it's how I used to put myself to sleep at night, is going down the YouTube rabbit hole.
Put on the tin hat and be like, time to go to bed.
It's so fun, man. It's like, it's like, you know, diving into another person's reality. Like, I think I was telling you, I went through the flat earth conspiracy videos. I was on that kick for at least a month and a half.
Really? Where,
yeah, oh. Every night I was watching Flat Earth conspiracy videos. It was super, super entertaining. So, you know,
I would never do that.
Oh, it was fucking incredible, man. It's like you have guys like, no shit, like trying to bust out tape measures and build diagrams. And like, it's fucking awesome.
So it's literally like
the
just,
earth is flat.
It's just comedy. Yeah. It's comedy at that point.
It is.
It's, I guess the humor is in the sense of they actually believe it. So you're like, oh my God, this is real. Like, someone actually believes this.
Yeah, people think this is real. And then you have guys like Neil deGrasse Tyson out there, who's an astrophysicist, and he's out on the beating the drum against all these flat earthers. And you have, you know, hyper intelligent people, and they're, you know, you got the flat earthers that are like, no, it's an international conspiracy with, you know, all these space stations and everything's fake. It's all you know, animated, and you NASA's in on it, and all these people in the military on the take. And it's like, you're talking about an international conspiracy that moves through every country with a space program, every country that has a satellite. They all are in on it, but yeah, nobody fucking knows. And, you know, as a guy that worked for the government for so long, And these people are so far removed from the government, they don't understand how it works. They think that everybody in the government, like, if you're on a special project, no you secrets. Never talk. And it's like, the people on the special projects always talk. Like,
yeah.
There's always the one guy that's
especially,
like,
especially when there's pussy involved. It's like, you know who I work for? The CIA. You want to see this TSSEI freaking packet I got that says compartmentalized, super secret?
Oh, there you go. Hey, I took this thumb drive out and, you know, look at, like,
if only I could tell you what was on here.
Yeah. Here, why don't I just upload this to your laptop and you can take a look, if I can take a look what's under your pants. And it is super interesting to me, but Alex Jones is not, like, he's not the wildest of all these conspiracy theory guys. Like, there are guys out there that no shit think that the earth is run by alien reptiles, like an alien reptile species, and they fucking really believe in, like, God. Shapeshifters and flat earth.
That's awesome.
Oh, no, yeah. it's fucking awesome.
Send me a
awesome.
Link.
It's
me
awesome.
Link.
Yeah, it's
has
awesome.
Any,
Baker's trying to show me something. Just come up here, Baker.
Yo, Evan, show it to Dave, Baker. That's why we have the screen, so Dave can put it up to all of us. Like, put it up to Dave.
Oh,
Baker.
Wow. No,
we have a whole system here that Dave can broadcast to all of us.
There is no system. There's just Baker on my phone.
Yeah. Check out my phone.
It's pretty
show
cool.
It to Dave.
He said
he could put it on the big screen.
He said YouPorn blocked Alex Jones as well.
Wow.
Stop.
Even
wait,
YouPorn?
Did YouPorn did he have a channel?
I'm
going to
lie. If I ever got blocked from YouPorn, I'd be super sad.
Yeah.
Like, that would suck. No, because YouPorn has been hosting a lot of content restricted stuff on other platforms, and then they've been uploading it to YouPorn because they're like, it's rated R. You have to say you're 18 and above here.
No way. That's crazy, man. That is fucking crazy.
That's intense.
If we lost YouPorn and Xvideos, that would be the end of a civilization, I feel.
I mean, you got other ones.
RedTube.
Yeah. XN, XX. And that's what I've heard. I've never heard of those
platforms.
That one's the... The blue was the first one to be iOS compatible, so I have not shied away from that one, Crispy. I just kind of stuck with it, you know?
I just had the weird visual of just Jared getting ready to masturbate. Like, he makes the bed, he puts a candle out.
Oh, God.
You know, he probably turns on his white noise machine, lets a breeze through, and he goes, oh, it's going to be so cool to develop this story so I can masturbate in 17 minutes.
Preps with like
with
some
a warm
Princess
towel.
45.
Preps with like some Princess minutes. Cruise Line like advertisements.
No, he actually goes through like a travel fucking lady,
like a,
helps
like a,
set up
looking
the fake
at a
thing.
Brochure.
Yeah.
I download the brochure of the vacation that they took in the porn.
$463 and I could be on this cruise too. Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, man. I have never been on a vacation with a female. That must be why
you
that makes sense.
You don't have a relationship
in an affinity for vacation porn.
No, it's pretty crazy, man. So there's this whole like concept out there, and this is not like tin hat thing, but like when you take a lady and treat her nice places, she tends to stick around. Oh, fucking crazy concept. Like, hey, baby, you look pretty. Can I take you to dinner? They tend to like things like that.
Does that really work?
Yeah.
Is there a list somewhere that I could download? Like, is
hey, you know what? I'll go PDF. Home. Noelle and I will write out a little list of just do's and don'ts. Like, just don't call her a fucking bitch.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
maybe you should get the drinking bros to write a whole slump, thing.
A slit pig.
Yeah, you treat your significant other with some respect. Maybe even open a door once in a while, on a date night, open up the fucking passenger door. Yeah. Chivalry isn't dead, man. Yeah.
Take them somewhere else than McDonald's, dude.
Yeah,
like a nice steakhouse.
Clean
or something.
Off the dried mustard from 3 days ago off your face and chin.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
General hygiene is a big one too. Like when your breath or butt doesn't stink, that's always. Good too.
Well, I will
look
say,
at him. Look how clean he is.
I was going to say, Jared, you sent me a picture last night. You look like you're in a boy band now. You're losing weight. You're at spin.
Are you falling in love because you're getting fit now? You got a haircut.
Yeah.
You trimmed your beard.
Yeah. I'm doing a lot of stuff that I never did.
And what did I say to you last night when you texted me that picture?
He just sent me a link to Goatee's. Somebody I used to know.
And then I said,
this on repeat all night.
I said, while you're at spin tonight, I want you to listen to episode one of Drinking Bros and think about the person you were versus who you are now and go back and find that guy. 300 episodes later, you're doing spin. It went from I'm drinking out of a France press. Dry heaving on Matt in episode one to I think I'm going to go to spin and I might lay off the drinks.
But Jared's whole life is like a selection because it's a war of attrition. It's like, how long will you keep up with this? That's the thing.
Did you get my text this morning?
Yeah, 4:47 or
yep,
something?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was up at 4:40.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Doing what?
Send him a picture of my watch.
His alarm went off.
Did you go back to sleep?
Oh, wow. No.
Took a picture.
I went running.
And he went.
At 4:45 in the morning you went running?
No, I drove home. And then waited for the sun to come up a little bit. Like, I wanted to be hotter. I wanted to sweat.
That's like having a fucking hangover and driving home at 4:30 in the morning from someone's house. Like, I was up at 4:30.
I didn't come home and go to bed. I actually came home and initiated a render in After Effects that I needed to do for a while. And then as soon as the sun started coming up where I knew I'd sweat more, I went and run.
Okay.
I'm proud of you.
Fair enough.
It was like 6:10.
Oh, boy. Again, listen to episode one, Pegging Explained, of who you were then versus who you are now.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've had a France press.
I miss the old Jared. But I want to say this, though, because a lot of people have asked us, hey, what are you guys going to do for 300? Is it going to be something crazy? No, we did something crazy for 100. We'll do something crazy for 1,000. But this, we just kind of wanted to chat about life and everything that's going on. I just want to say I'm super proud of you guys, man. Like, Black Rifle wasn't even around, was it? Like, it was just Evan in his basement, I believe.
My garage. Yeah. I mean, it was my garage, and my basement was packing and fulfilling, and then my garage was roasting.
Is that not crazy to you? Like, in all honesty, like, that's fucking insane. In that short amount of time, in 300 episodes, now Black Rifle is worth, what, $80 million or something crazy?
Oh, I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Is that not wild, though? Like, when you sit back and really think about it?
It was in my basement.
Yeah.
It's a fair assessment.
Somewhere between, I don't know, Tesla and my basement somewhere. I don't know.
But it's pretty incredible, man. Like, for real. Just thinking about it.
I think that when you're involved in it every day and, you know, you're working so many hours per day, sometimes a year can feel like 3 years, sometimes more depending. So it doesn't seem like 3 years. It actually seems like yesterday or 10 years ago. Right. So it's
right.
Like, I agree.
It's, I mean, 3 years ago we made Waterboarding Hipsters.
Well, I was thinking about that the other day too. 3 years ago was when I was getting off my last deployment. So right. I was still fucking deploying 3 years ago. Well, in June, which is fucking crazy.
Shit. Yeah. That's nuts, man.
Yeah. When you think about it, I'm like, oh wow, I forgot that it's been a lot's happened. But it's been good, man. I think that's the whole goal in life, right? Is to keep pushing forward and do things that you love and smiling and creating value in people's lives, to include yourselves.
Yeah,
I agree more.
It's amazing. I mean, look, you look at Black Rifle, which is massive. Three movies. We've done three fucking films within that time frame.
Four, really?
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah. Helen Keller. to that's right. 15. That's right. To Not a War Story to
Drinking Bros Live.
We do have, we still have all the AFE tour stuff that we shot that we never released. We need to release that.
Supposed to be done now. I can call about that today.
Yeah. We should do something with that. That was a fun trip.
Yeah, and then look, one of our OGs, Rocco. I mean, fuck, he's on a massive fucking series that starts September 4th. Yeah. He's on the fucking so Mayans, for Christ's sakes, like
epic.
If you really look back, just in the 3 years of what everybody's been able to accomplish, like fucking A, man, it's pretty insane. And then we've gotten to meet all these crazy people along the way. Crispy, dude, I pump your name every single day for Grill Your Ass Off. You've got your own like line of seasonings and shit. You're doing products. You're working with a bunch of people. What else are you doing these days?
Just hanging out with these guys. I mean, they work hard and I just kind of like get all the benefits from it. I just kind of show up.
No.
I show up like the token winded guy, like, hey guys.
How you brought me over a pig. How is that? You did all the work. You smoked it for like 9 hours, yeah, and then I just ate it.
But that's one of the things that I like to do. I like to cook and smoke and do all that stuff. Like, so it's not really work. It's
okay, fair. We need to dig the hole in the backyard next time and do that one. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Crispy. We use your seasoning at our house probably 3 times a week. That's no lie.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, and all the audience loves it. So I'm super stoked. I hope you do more shit
Not too spicy for you.
No. Well, Chris, hold on, Crispy. Don't get too deep because I was at Ross's house. He doesn't have your seasoning.
I do.
He's just.
I take the compliment, Crispy, and move on.
What was your favorite part of my seasoning, Ross?
No,
the season.
The season part.
The seasoning part. The salt.
Like that pumpkin spice you had. Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
No. So Crispy's got this spicy habanero with Grill Your Ass Off, who is our sponsor.
Fucker just Googled it.
Yeah, he's got it up on his computer now.
His wife's the assistant over there. Like, okay, it has cayenne pepper.
Boy.
It's got a little.
It's in the opening of almost every show.
He always fucks it up. He's like, man, it's mango habanero.
Yeah,
mango
habanero,
pinche puto. Come on, Ross, get your shit together, homie.
I fuck it up on every episode, I think. But it's awesome. And to me personally, I'd love to see you have your own cooking show. Is that something you'd ever want to do?
Dude.
Yeah, I actually talked about it. I think I told JT or Logan, I want to do like coffee with Crispy in the morning. So like I'll make some Black Rifle coffee, and then I'll make some breakfast, and then I'll talk about it like a different weapon.
I got it right here. It's a Crispy and Matt tipsy or drunk cooking show where we just get a little drunk. We'll make a fucking signature cocktail.
Tipsy with Crispy and Matt.
Tipsy with Crispy.
Oh, I like it, dude. Yeah.
Tipsy and with
Matt.
Crispy
and Matt.
And
Matt.
And a hand grenade. That would be fun as fuck, dude, because we would just do shit that we love, and I'm just meat kind of guy. Like, you know, maybe have the wife throw some broccoli in the oven, and then we'll just focus on the
And then we can throw the broccoli
meats.
Away.
Yeah, and we throw the broccoli away.
Cooking shows like kill, man, and there's nothing for, like, real men. I was in a pitch meeting about this the other day. Like, there's not, like, a real fucking dude. I think
dude,
you should
and then
do
we'll
it,
have
man.
Our awesome guest who's here, Buster. We'll just get, like, a half cow from Buster.
We can
and
have
we'll
him,
fucking...
We can have him kill
cow.
It.
Whole cow.
Yeah. Oh, whole shit. Cow. I've never smoked the whole cow. I'm up for the challenge.
We'll call it From Farm to Family, where we show the animal, we slaughter it, then we bring it in, and we'll get banned. We'll be the next Alex Jones cooking show. Yeah. You know? It'll be fucking great.
Dave will get fired.
Can we load the cow in a trebuchet and shoot it out of the air?
No, I'm thinking more of like, because like you can do it to a lobster. Let's just put it on the oven, right?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You could have a cow tank.
You have Watusi on your property? So Watusi, it's like a cow, but it's got these huge horns.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this.
So we can go bow hunting.
You can bow hunt a cow?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You just have to show up with it.
This is crazy. Texas. You can kill anything in Texas.
You just have to show up with some hay.
I know. It's just like target practice. It's not even hunting.
You don't even have to use your bow.
Please,
just use your arrow.
Please tell me that you have to dress with two of us in a cow suit, and I get to be the hind legs.
You're going to go cow hunting today. Here's your bale of hay, and here's a baseball bat.
Dude, you couldn't do that, but it would be so funny to be like, all right, we're going cow hunting today. You're all camoed out. And it's just it just keeps going to the top.
All we be is like, all we have is a cow tag. And so they think that it's.
Oh, yeah. We got a cow tag. I forgot. Are they in Idaho going for elk and just the cow?
Oh shit, it's coming right up on us.
That's the hamburger commercial.
Oh shit, it's coming right up on us.
It's coming right for us. It's the South Park.
We're both in camouflage. Yeah. It's like just comes right up.
And then we fake sponsor it by all the epic, like, it's like Sika gear. And she's like, hey, we did not support this, guys. Yeah, but your flannels are dope.
Love this Sika gear, dog.
He's making commercials for other companies that are super fucked up.
Yeah.
Use a Yeti cooler to bash its head in. Brought to you by Yeti.
Yeti. By Yeti.
Not just a cooler.
Go kill a domestic object. Animal. Next, they've got a cat next door that's been bothering me for a year.
Yeti full of cat.
We're going to fuck this cat up.
I got some footage I got to send you. There's a squirrel that's been eating Miss Crispy's bird feed from the back of the house. And I just got so pissed. I grabbed my bow and I opened the door and I stuck him on the wall.
Oh.
On the back of the fence. I did smoke him, so.
Oh.
I'm gonna show the footage here later on.
Oh, that's delicious. It's a tasty little squirrel.
Oh, squirrel's really good.
What's your favorite dish, squirrel Crispy?
My favorite. Oh man,
that's a tree. That's a tree fish. That's what I call a squirrel.
Tree fish. They are like the catfish of land. They just eat anything. Kind of fucking dig holes. You're like, this thing's fucking
that's
annoying.
That's a nice little tree fish you got there.
Oh hell yeah, I got one of them tree fish. You got tags for those things? You get a fishing license? I feel like you are very similar to my middle brother Alan, where he is like rugged and redneck as they come, and he always just like. Kill shit. Well, he'll just kill a squirrel. I'm like, dude, why'd you fucking just kill that? He goes, oh, I'm gonna go eat that.
Yeah.
And he's not poor or anything. He just wants to eat things like any bunny, any snake. Like he'll kill snakes, like a rattlesnake, cooks those. He just goes out, literally walks 12 miles to a camping site, kills anything on his way, and then eats it.
Yeah, dude. I learned that from my dad. The other day, he sent me this picture of like this 6-foot rattlesnake. He goes, we killed this in the house.
In the house?
Oh, in the back of the house.
Oh, shit. I was like,
in the back of the house.
Only rattlesnake that big is my cock. Sorry.
He's like, we're going to eat it. I'm like, hell yeah, Dad. And he sent me pictures of it. So that's where I got it from. And just
that's pretty cool, though.
You eat anything. Everything you kill, everything that I've killed, I've always eaten. And that's my one thing. Like, I'm not going to kill something unless I'm going to eat it.
Has there been something you've killed, though, that was disgusting when you ate it, where you were like, shit, I'll never eat this again?
Yeah, there's this ram here in Texas called Audad. It was brought here back in the day. And it's a trophy hunt, but I thought the meat was really good, and I killed it, and I tried eating it. Oh, dude, it was disgusting.
Audad was bad?
Yeah.
Really?
It's really tough. Gamey is just, it's not good at all.
You know what I want to try is bear. Certain people say it's disgusting, but I've heard it's fucking awesome.
Bear is delicious. It depends how you cook it.
I want to try bear dye.
Bear dye?
What's that?
A bear dick.
Yeah, it's bear dick.
Oh, just like a West Hollywood bear. That's complete. We're talking about like a black or grizzly bear here, like an animal, not a hairy dude that wants to put his cock in your butt.
Smoked bear dye.
Yeah, just chopping the dick off a bear. That's a delicatessen.
I'll smoke it for you.
All right.
You bring it, I'll smoke it for you.
All right,
I'll try my best.
That Traeger can smoke anything, man.
Works wonders. So.
Squirrel meat. Well, cook me a squirrel. I'll eat it.
Okay.
I'm not scared.
I saw some at your house. I can come.
Oh,
there's
some there. Yeah, we'll pin one to you if you
kill one, and then I'll show you how to clean it, and then we'll smoke it.
Sweet.
What's the best meat you've ever had then in the world? Because you seem to be a meat connoisseur. What's the best meat? Is like Wagyu and all that shit? Is that the best? Is that real?
It's good. I recently I killed a water buffalo a couple months ago, and I had it recently, and man, it's by far the best meat I've had so far. It's water buffalo.
Really? Where at? Where'd you kill that thing?
So the Panhandle in Texas, one of my friends that I know up there, they have about 100,000 acres, and it's all free range. So they bring animals from all over the world. They drop them there and let them survive. So we hiked like 4 days, and I think we racked somewhere a total of like 30 miles in those 4 days. And I mean, it was hard for me because of the terrain, but finally I got up on them on 30 yards. The wind was really hard, and I just let that arrow fly and got them right in the heart. So.
Wow. Boom. One shot.
Fuck,
that's a massive animal. I'm surprised you could take that down with just one arrow.
It was 1,500 pounds. That's what it weighed at when we finally got a
Ross, I think you need to see what like modern day bow and arrows do.
I do, for real.
Modern day bow and arrows.
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
They're nasty, dude.
I thought he said bone marrow. I was like, that's just good, too.
It's all shot placement.
Now Baker's on here.
Episode 300, we're doing round robin.
We're doing round robin.
I have three more minutes.
Welcome,
Baker. Takes my spot.
Burt Koontz is there. What, really?
Yeah.
Burt Koontz is here, too? Get the fuck out of here.
It's just, we're just going to keep.
Sure.
We're just going to keep going.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Evan had to go film some stuff, so we have Baker. Hi, Baker.
Yeah, Baker.
At 48, you switch out with Buster.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Baker, leave it. Friend of the show, friend in real life. Let me ask you, man.
Regular. Yeah,
of course, yeah. Obviously. But
this is my third episode, but I've done 2 in 3 weeks. I mean, I feel like I'm part of the family.
You are.
Yeah, you're like the drunk aunt. Like we like you ish.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding. You've always been really nice to me.
The cousin.
What's the rich cousin? Because you always call Baker when you need something.
That is true.
That is true. I do take pride in that. I mean,
that is true.
You are like the white Rocco. Like you know a guy. You always know a guy. And then the problem with you sometimes is you say shit. I say shit in passing. We're like, oh man, this microphone's pretty cool. You're like, whoa, they'll send you out 7 of those. Like, I don't know if I need that.
You sent me that text. Shipped. We were talking about hunting, and yeah. Matt was like, yeah, he's like, I got to get a. So Jay gave you a rifle.
Yeah, a Kimber
Mountain Ascent rifle for Christmas.
Super legit.
And you're like, yeah, man, I got to get optics on this thing. And I was like, I got you. Get me an address. You're like, no, I can buy it. I was like, no. Just get me an address, and then you got like an optics, spotting Leupold. Scope.
You've never told me that.
What?
No, I was talking to him.
And the rangefinder came out too, which is awesome because I've been rangefinding everything in my backyard and working on just like eye lining distances for my bow.
Nice.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, and Ross, you asked a question about killing a water buffalo.
I did, yeah.
Shot. So I was in Africa about a month ago, and my buddy Jamie Shira drilled a Cape Buffalo,
nice.
Which is 2,000 pounds.
I saw the picture.
With one arrow. So what it all boils down to, Ross, is shot placement. So like if you take a 22 and shoot something in the heart, it's going to die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you run an arrow through the two lungs of any animal, it's going to die.
Yeah.
So it's just shot placement.
Now, you're Baker, you're a big game hunter because I follow you on Instagram. Like, you go for, like, wild, crazy shit in Africa.
Ross, did you just say
he's a big gay hunter?
Oh, my God, it's Burt Koontz. Hey, it's Burt Koontz. Burt Koontz on the mic.
He's to my left. Ross, I wouldn't describe myself as a big game hunter. I would describe myself as an avid hunter. Like, I like to hunt, and I go do a lot of hunting, but, like, I mean, like guys like Donnie Vincent and stuff like that. I mean, like, I'm not at their level.
I think just to like the average person, you are a diehard yeah. hunter. And then there's dudes like Donnie Vincent, which are just like, you know, he's like the Jesus hunting of Jesus. Yeah. He's just, he lives out there. That's his, at peace with it.
I'm not trying to do that.
Yeah.
No.
Me neither.
I always say the Texas way, like Crispy. It's like, I'm not about the hunting. I'm about the killing. I ain't about the fishing. I'm about the catching. You know,
Dakota,
but I eat it all. I just don't want to. Yeah. Or Dakota Meyer thing said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Burt Koontz. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I bet everybody missed you.
Yeah.
We do. And you got that scruff on your face coming in. Looks like you've been in the mountains lifting weights, getting tanned.
Like Wyoming or something.
I made an agreement with Candace. I'm not going to shave for a year.
Nice.
Wait, how is she letting you do that? Or she wants it.
She likes the beard. So I said, how if I'm going to do it, I'm going to go all out. So I'm not going to shave for a year.
What
I'm going full beard.
Were there terms, or is this you just doing it?
No, just doing it.
Okay.
And why not do it better? Why not do it? Pick a better month than August in Texas.
Like, no, it's great because your face is kind of cold. You need to warm it up.
Sweat my face off. My next step is like Baker though, just shaving. Shaving my head. Shaving my face.
If I didn't shave for a year, you know what I'd look like?
Not like
exactly
same.
The same right now.
Do you not grow facial hair, Lee?
I have the complexion of a jellyfish.
Or a woman.
Or an albino.
Or a woman.
It's like a jellyfish. Look.
I feel like you'd be like every pre-op tranny's dream because like you don't have to shave or take like hair blockers or laser stuff off. Yeah. It's like, this shit's good. I just got to get rid of this dick.
I wonder how Baker does it.
When I came down here like maybe 4 trips ago, I got upgraded to first class and the stewardess.
I bet your first class loved that.
The stewardess working first class was a dude, but dressed
stewardess
like, dressed like a woman.
1970 but, called and they want their.
I mean, this fucker had
a flight attendant.
Flight attendant
had a full on, deep Texas country ass accent, and like huge massive Adam's apple, but had a combat action pin thing.
Oh, nice
on the red dress.
Oh, cool.
Like a legit one, not like a no. Like I served in Delta Airlines, like you actually saw some shit.
No, like a real one. Okay. Yeah, and I was like,
fuck, man, I don't know. Delta gets crazy with some of those drunks, dude.
United Airlines. Know? I was the one that knocked that Asian guy out.
Yeah,
fucker's name was John.
John.
His name was John, and John had on a red dress, and it was fucking interesting.
Hey, we go big here in Texas, man. So if you're gonna do it, go all out.
You're right. I'm not going to lie. So my wife and I ended up at a bar, which is next to our hotel room. Didn't know what, as we're walking in, fucking, you know, rainbow flags everywhere and stuff. And she's like, I think this is a gay bar. So we Googled it. It was a gay friendly bar. And my wife was dressed up to the T. She was looking absolutely amazing. And no one cared. They were just like, meet gays and me. And I was like, this is kind of uncomfortable, yeah, but awesome. Like, you see, she's walking around in her tiny little dress, no, and nobody's looking. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm that now. Like, this is, well, yeah, it's kind of cool, man. What, like, see, all the dudes would take me home, babe.
Just a piece of meat looking at you.
Yeah.
Like, I got options, Noel. You better watch out.
You better watch out, girl.
What city was that, Matt?
That was in Austin when I went up for Brendan Schaub's comedy, which was absolutely hilarious. The dude does really well. He had a really good opener as well. So if you guys have a chance to check that out, do it, man. He's
I can't believe I missed this.
That's fucking awesome. By the way, his coffee I saw just launched with you guys. It was on his Instagram the other day. The packaging on that is amazing, man. You guys knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, we did. We've been working on that for a while, and you know, Brendan's a super good dude, and we've you know, crossed paths many times with the movie and some other stuff. And I honestly had no fucking clue how his comedy show was going to be, because I really like the guy. I think he's a good dude. And then when you're watching him perform, and I have no context, I'm like, please don't suck, dude.
Yeah.
And he fucking crushed it, man. He's more of like a storyteller comedian, which I thought was super exciting, because you really get into what he's saying. He's not just like popping off silly little jokes. It was very engaging. So if you guys have the chance to check him out, do it, man. I will definitely watch his set again.
That's awesome. Really,
and I'm not even into stand-up comedy.
I like the guy. Like, seriously, a big shout out to the guy. A bunch of people were texting me and sending me messages. I think you were one of them. On every single podcast that he's on, was gave me a huge shout out. And we only met once, and I got a huge vibe off the guy, and I was like, he's a good dude.
Yeah, and if you guys are curious, see, like, this Friday, the Big Brown Coffee is up. We're doing some specialty roasts for him, and then on Friday we're launching kind of behind the scenes, so you can see when we did our initial kind of biz dev thing, and Crispy was there. We went out to the range, and it's like a 13 minute video, but it pops up on Black Rifle's YouTube on Friday.
Yeah, I watched it last night with Logan. It's actually really good.
I'm stoked to see
Why
that.
Why did you preface that with actually?
And then by the way, Bert Koontz, you have a coffee with Black Rifle as well. Is it the smoke hammer I saw on your Instagram?
We actually have a few, and
interesting Matt, day to ask that question.
Yeah, Matt and I are smiling. Interesting day. There'll be bigger news with Bison Union and Black Rifle on the coffee side of things coming up here probably in the next week or two. Let me also stress that I say it all the time, and Buster Frierson, who is also here in the podcast audience, he's the one. Buster and I started Peacemaker with Candace's help, you know, a few years back, but since which turned into Bison Union, we are not coffee people, but you know, we were going to do a coffee. We got introduced to Evan and Matt. We picked coffee with those guys because of who they are. But you know, Evan is the king of coffee, in my opinion. And we partnered with these guys just to do one or two roasts or blend a coffee, and it's grown to something more than that. And it's getting a good response, but we're not coffee folks. We're moving a little bit more into coffee on the Bison Union side, but there'll be some more news to come.
Yeah, super exciting. You
that's
guys
awesome,
just
yeah.
created such a kick-ass brand, and you and Buster are salt of the earth kind of guys. So it's like, let's do this, obviously. Other than my one big complaint about you is a little too much time in Wyoming. You need to be around Texas a little more so we see that mug of yours.
Let me make something real clear. I don't need the likes or the internet exposure. I'll get up and walk off this fucking podcast.
Wait, I was saying I wanted more of you.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I said I wanted more of you.
Sorry.
God, there's the angry bro. I'm a fucking good.
I haven't seen you since like Salt Lake, dude.
I know. When I saw you walking in today, it's great. I've been watching your stuff, and man, your Instagram has taken a really cool turn. Watching your hunting stuff is awesome.
Thanks.
And watching you, you know, find something after being out of the military that you're super passionate about is, man, again, for me, Buster being here, like, you know, being around horses and ranches, but you're now doing ranch stuff. You're doing hunting stuff. Man, it's really fucking fun to watch your transformation.
Shit, man, I grew up in South Texas. Is all we did. Ranching,
man,
farming, hunting.
It's cool.
So it's just kind of trying to find that outlet to
a cooking show.
We need to get Crispy a cooking show.
Yeah, we're doing
it. You really do, man. Like, every time you post when you're at Matt's house or when you and Matt are together, like, that stuff right there, You guys obviously know I like food. It's my biggest battle in life.
We're doing it. Tipsy with Crispy.
Yes.
And Matt.
And Matt.
I really like a couple like dots on there.
Dots, another one in the bottom.
Yeah.
Like real, you know, small print.
One day I would like Buster, being the absolute cowboy professional he is, to get me to stop being a pussy because I have yet to ride a horse since my accident.
And I asked you, I've asked you many times.
And I, you know, I'm the kind of guy like, no, but like, I gotta literally get back on the horse. Like, I literally have to, because it's like, I was thinking about it the other day, like, it checked my ego. I was like, I've had the opportunity to get on a horse since, and I haven't. And I was like, I hate fucking being weak-minded like that. So, like, I got to go up there and just fucking kick ass.
And we've talked about this before.
You need to.
Because I got thrown when I was 12, got off the ground, got back on the horse.
7 years ago?
Rode it to the barn, and have never been on one since. Now, I have...
Buster's cracking up. Hold on. You pussy. I tell you something, bitch.
Buster, it gets better.
He just spit out
it
his
gets
dip.
Better. It gets better. So on September the 5th, I will be in the Bitterroot Selway area going on a 7-day elk hunt in the backcountry. 24 miles pack in on a horse. I have chills right now because of my anxiety. Like, so I also need to get on a horse, and I hate this whole weak-minded shit.
Let's start hashtag horse me too.
Hold on, Baker. Has a girl never bucked you off, and then you got just got back on?
That's different.
No, it ain't.
That's totally different. No, but it's like when I was 12, like, I can tell you, tell you with a clear mind, a piece of barbed wire whipped around and hit his leg.
What is that? Is that B-O-B wire?
It's Bob wire.
Bob wire.
It's this guy. He owns a ranch down south called Bob, and he just hangs wire up.
You're from Kansas. How dare you? How dare you, sir, correct my grammar?
I believe it's called barbed wire.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So
you even added the ED, barbed wire.
So a piece of barbed wire whipped around and hit his front hock. He reared up maybe, I don't know, 2 feet. I slid off the back. It didn't hurt. Got back on him, rode him to the barn, and haven't been on one since.
Oh, you didn't even get okay. I just can't bring Jared around because he'll fly a drone over its head and kill me.
But hold on, Buster, you have quarter horses, right? He doesn't have the horses that you and I need to get over that hump.
No, you know, start small.
We don't want to get bucked off again.
Oh, no. Because
that's what he's going to do. He's like, oh, I got this great gelding.
He wouldn't do it. I trust Buster.
Start off on a donkey, dude.
A mule. Because you know that Kit Carson, basically one of the baddest sons of bitches ever to take a step out west, that was his animal of choice, was a mule.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't ride, because mules, they don't need as much water.
Yeah.
They're basically sterile. They can't reproduce, and they're just work machines, and they're big and they're hardy. So Kit Carson came the West.
We got Buster out here now.
What's happening?
I was gonna tell him, take off your hat, bro.
you can't take that cowboy hat off. Yeah. Tom. Are we being super lame about this?
Pretty lame.
they
had a cowboy me lame. This sucks, man.
They are, Buster. I'm not in cowboy boots right now because I got an infection on my foot, so it's them.
Too. Yeah, no doubt, Crispy. Yeah. I mean, this is just these two.
How long have you been riding horses for?
Since I was two.
Two? Oh,
two, three, yeah.
Shit. Where are you from, Buster?
Yeah. I grew up out in West Texas, I guess, west of Abilene, Texas, about three and a half hours west of Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm. And for those of you that... Dave, there's a camera, right?
Yeah.
Buster, hold up your hands for everybody to look at that shit. Looks like a first baseman's mitt.
Those are Brock Lesnar hands right there, man.
Wow.
That's a working man's hands.
But let me ask you this, Matt. Does it bother you knowing that there is probably two dudes in this room, the most important being Buster, that are like kind of questioning our like mental strength and manliness?
No, because I brought up that I felt that I was being weak-minded by not like going out and getting back on the horse. So just like, let's do it.
We're
I'll
just
fucking
questioning
do it.
You,
I'm
Baker.
In. Man, that's easy. Y'all just got to come to Fort Worth. We'll get y'all back on the horse.
I'll do it if you'll do it.
Yeah, hey, yeah, I already said I'm going to.
Buster,
yeah, I mean, my daddy didn't raise no bitch.
Yeah, but it's all fun and games till you got to grab that mane and throw those reins over it and put your foot in that stirrup and swing that leg over.
It ain't that
I've
hard.
Been there. I've been there one time on a quail hunt. I was like, I'll walk.
See, I'm cool under pressure, though, because when I was getting bucked off, I was like thinking and process driven, how do I not get the fuck off this horse? So I didn't have enough training, but I pulled back on both instead of driving the horse's head this way, which subsequently made it buck more and me really get launched. So
yeah.
Yeah, now I know. I just need like a horse refresher. Riding for dummies by Buster.
Oh, it's easy. Right
and
now.
I need horse riding for pussies. That's for me.
Buster, do you have any Clydesdales?
No, I don't have any Clydesdales. Everything I got is just quarter.
I had an idea. Can we please film this, Buster? I want to send Ross Patterson out to the ranch and make him work for 4 days and film it and just break him.
That would be
break him.
I don't mind working. I don't mind putting in hard hours and working on a ranch or something like that. I don't think that I could go through and. Jared and I have talked about this. I don't think I could go through basic training or anything like you guys did. Like, I think we did the 70 push-up challenge on the last episode. I didn't know that was the thing that you guys had to do, and I didn't. I got to 50, I think.
Really? Wait, why did you guys?
But oh yeah, you didn't hear about this?
No, I did not.
I got duped into a bet by Jared and his fucking Nitro Circus buddies of like 70 push-ups. It doesn't sound like a lot. And I usually, when I go to the gym, I'll start off with like a warm-up of like 25 and 25. I was like, I do 50 push-ups anyways. How hard is 70? I didn't know that was like your magic number for like basic training. My arms gave out at 50. Like I was done in a row because there was no breaks. No. What was the other thing, Jared? You weren't allowed to rest?
Yeah, you can't. Well, you can rest in an up or down position, but
that's
can't,
it.
Like,
yeah.
Put your knees down or
exactly.
Something.
So I tried to do that, and obviously I'm nowhere near.
Is it really 70? I don't remember.
So let me ask you this, Buster. So my family has some farms. I mean, I grew up on one, but not like a working ranch.
And they got workers.
Right. So.
What, you got some Crispy's cousins over there, fucking asshole?
Seven of them.
I will not apologize for a family lineage of good decisions. It's not my fault. Don't hate me. But the one thing that I think people, when they think about farms, like there is a tool on a farm that will check your shit quicker than anything, and that's a set of post hole diggers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So if you think you're a badass and, you know, you go get you some post hole diggers.
Are you just talking about the
ones?
Yeah. Let them get out about rep 15, and you'll find out real quick if someone's going to make it or not, because it will eat your ass.
I think we start a new company called Country CrossFit, and we just have people pay to do fucking cowboy work for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, today you're digging post holes. Like, man, this really activates the glutes, the front delts.
They have those things like the dude ranches where like rich bankers from New York like pay thousands of dollars to bring their family to do all the work for them.
Yeah. No, they don't.
That's just,
it's like company store.
There might be some money in there, Buster. Have some like rich like finance guys come out and work them on the farm, and they pay you.
Ranch fit.
Ranch fit. Buster. Yeah. Buster. So
ranch fit.
Hey, Buster. So Burton. Baker gets an idea of what a regular working man does at a farm. What's your day-to-day? Like, what does it look like?
Great question. Oh, man, I kind of start my day. I catch horses in the morning that you're
scared
of.
What's in the morning?
Absolutely terrified.
How early in the morning?
So I start 5:30-ish. You know, I get to the barn, feed, whistle horses in. I catch horses, feed, catch whatever horses I might need for that day. If I'm going to use 2, 1, whatever it is, you know, and then I generally throw one in a trailer or leave from the barn and just kind of make my rounds in the morning when it's cool, especially in the summertime, you know. I mean, you got to get up and get going early. And
what are you making rounds for the cattle?
Yeah, just check, you know, just check the welfare of the cows and the water and the grass and the mineral and just a general everyday upkeep of the ranch, you know. I mean, kind of check the perimeter, make sure nobody ran through my fences. I've got some county roads that are right on my fences, and a lot of people run through them, so... That's kind of the basic morning routine is I kind of make my rounds. And if anything needs doctored cow-wise, you know, I mean, like I've been doctoring some bad eyes, which I'll have to rope and catch and tie down and give an injection of an antibiotic and put a patch, you know, and they get a seed. It's dry this summertime. They get a seed in their eye just like you would. They get an infection, which can cause blindness, permanent blindness. And so I catch those, tie them down. Clean their eye out, give them an injection, turn them loose, and kind of go on about my day.
Straight man shit.
Yeah.
But what about seasonal? Like, are some seasons, like, you know, you got your they're foaling and your spring calves and
so
stuff.
Like, we're
what's the busiest time of the year for you?
Spring calving. So it's the same kind of routine, but now you're checking cows that are calving and you're having to help them sometimes if they don't have a calf properly.
You ever stick your arm in their butts?
Oh, yeah. It just happens.
You ever seen that?
Baker used to do those as a teenager.
How deep does your arm go inside the ass?
You got to go to the elbow, right? Yeah, oh, armpit. I mean,
Like, my arm goes, you know, I mean, like, if you palpate a cow, it's up to your bicep. I mean, the bigger arm you got, the harder it is to get in there, of course. It's just typical.
Yeah.
Boy. Buster, can we like, ride your horses and go pig hunting with them? Are they gun shy or?
Yeah, I mean, I've got one or two horses that you could shoot a gun off of. I've cracked some bull whips and shotguns off of them, but the majority of them aren't. Now, like, we could go get off, you know. I mean, you could always shoot off of them once. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're fucking ballsy enough, you can shoot off of them.
If we're going to get you back on a horse, this is the way we need to do it.
Okay, Barrett, yeah. 50 cal in the back of a horse, shoot it, toss it, and hold on. And yeah, it's a fucking Six Flags roller coaster ride.
Do you have
paralyzing?
Do you have any calf losses due to like predation, like yes. coyotes and stuff?
Yes, yes, really? Yes. I generally lose probably, I would say 5% to varmints, coyotes, you know, just different predators.
How so?
They catch them when they're babies.
Oh, you know, just babies? Like
a cow lay down and have a baby calf. Well, for 30 or 45 minutes, that baby calf's just kind of a big piece of meat laying there. You know, they can get up and get to moving pretty quick. And generally, the cows will get up and protect them until that baby can get up and get to moving. But even still, even when that calf finally stands up on all four, it's just like a, you know, just like you would imagine or you see in the movies, it's pretty wobbly. I mean, hell, I can run one down, you know. I mean, I'm not a very fast guy, and I can jump out of the pickup and run a calf down that's 2 or 3 days old.
Yeah.
So a cow, you know, if the mother can't get up and protect it, a cow has no problem with just trotting up there and grabbing it and taking off.
If y'all see, like, a mother giving birth or whatever, do you try to protect the calf for a while?
Yeah, to a point, you know. I mean, if that cow's down and she can't get up, you know, if she's got nerve damage or something, and that generally sometimes will happen, especially in the younger cows, like a heifer that's never had a calf before, you'll have a problem where that calf comes out and it what we call nerves her. It pinches a nerve in her hip.
Okay.
And the cow can't get up from her back end. And, you know, that issue will fix itself over a period of time, and with some medicine, you can speed that time up. But so, like, you know, I mean, if I'm calving heifers out, I check heifers 3 or 4 times, you know, I check every 4 hours. So every 4 hours I'm up and I keep them close to the house. I'll take a spotlight, get in the pickup, ride through them, shine a spotlight on them. If there's a cow down trying to have a calf, sometimes they need help. Sometimes the calf's backwards, breached, whatever. You have to go help that cow and pull that calf. And, you know, sometimes you can drive that heifer up to the pens where you have some facilities. Sometimes you do it right there in the pasture, you know what I mean?
I remember one time when I was a kid, we had one that was breached, and my uncle had to take a pocket knife and cut it. And still, we pulled that thing out with a tractor.
Yeah.
Put chain around it. It got his front legs out. Or back legs, I don't remember what it was, chained it and pulled it out with a chain, with a tractor.
You weren't strong enough to pull it out?
Yeah.
No, Buster could have pulled it out.
Dude, I was, I mean, no, Crispy, I was like 8. Like, I was a little kid, and I saw that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting because I don't think a lot of people know how much management goes into, like, your pasture and the land and providing meat in that capacity.
Right. You know, it's just like anything. If you don't take care of it, it's not going to take care of you. And so... Yeah. You know, you overgraze your pastures, you stock country too heavy, and it doesn't rain like it has this year, you know. I mean, it's dry some bitch.
Yeah.
And you look up and you don't have any grass left. Well, then you're going to have to purchase that feed somehow or another, which in turn cuts into your profit, which in turn sooner or later is going to get to the point where you can't do it, you know. I mean, it's breaking you. And so the better management practices you have over your livestock, over your forage, over the land, the better off you are. Just like the better you take care of yourself, the better in the long run you're going to be.
What are your biggest challenges?
Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Mother Nature, prices, you know, inflation with just a pickup cost $100,000, you know. I mean, it's crazy in feed, fuel. Mother Nature, that's pretty much, I mean, that's the input. That's what our input is. And we're probably, I mean, I don't know the statistics or anything, but, you know, a cowboy ranching, the farming end of it, a pickup cost have increased 70 to 80, 90% over the last 10 years, where our wages are still the same they were 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still scraping and beating, just trying to make ends meet. And we do that because we love what we do. I mean, it's a lifestyle you grow up in. It's something you learn to respect.
Yeah, you love your cows, right?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, they're just, yeah, you take care of them because they otherwise they're not going to take care of you.
Right.
So, yeah, in fact, you have to love your cows. You know, you have to love what you do. You have to be able to get up in the morning at 4 o'clock and go pull a calf, you know, and not think anything about it. You know, I mean, you're not going to get paid any extra for being up every 4 hours for 30 days in a row. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I just want to invite Buster over my house. I'm going to pour a scotch and sit cross-legged like a fucking 8-year-old and listen to stories.
I know. Hey, right? But Buster, how did you and Burton even meet?
So I run a ranch just west of Fort Worth, and I had a mutual friend that works in the livestock enforcement at Fort Worth. And he called me and said he had this joker that wanted to work on a ranch. Well, I get a lot of calls, people wanting to work on a ranch. And so I was kind of interested. He gave me the background on Bert, and I was kind of interested and intrigued. So I told him, I said, well, have him call me. And so Bert called me. We visited on the phone. I was even more intrigued after I visited with Bert over the phone. And so I told him, I said, man, just come out and we'll visit. And if you want to work on the ranch, I'll show you what it is. I'll take you around one day with me. And if you still want to, we can figure something out. So Bert came out, we visited. I took him around and kind of showed him what it was, and brought him back up there to his pickup. And I told him, I said, man, if you want to work, you can work 100 hours a week, you can work 10 hours a week, but all I can pay you is 10 bucks an hour. And you can work as much or as little as you want. And Bert, he jumped all over the opportunity. And within about 2 weeks, me and him became friends. And I realized kind of what kind of an individual Bert was and where he came from and why he was who he was. And, you know, I mean, it's pretty crazy thinking that my world and the military veteran world is even close. You know, I mean, if you think about it, it's right out front, it's really not, but then you really get down deep inside it and it is. I mean,
family and hard work
and
doing things a certain way. Got to do things, and it's the hard things, and if they don't get done, everyone suffers.
Yeah.
You tell them, Baker.
And it's, you know, I mean, that's the whole deal. I mean, and
ranchers are tough sons of bitches, man.
Yeah, but everybody thinks that all you do is you have a bunch of cows and you take them to market and that's it. That's all they see.
Yeah. No. I mean, like putting a saddle on, like you said, getting up, lack of sleep, you know, and you have to do things a very certain way, because if you don't, it's just not going to work out.
And then the weather on top of it, man, like you were saying, like, Jesus, the rain and all that other stuff, you still have to work through it, right?
Yeah.
I have a rain catchment system for my water, and that stresses me out. I can't imagine worrying about cattle, you know?
Do you have a duster?
No, I mean, I've got a slicker, what we call a slicker, just a rain slicker.
What happened to Bert, like, his first day? Didn't he have a chigger attack or something on his legs or something?
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's a great one. I think it was probably the first or second day, a guy ran through my fence, like I told you, car run through the fence. And so we go down there to fix it, and it's summertime. It's just beginning of summertime, and so the grass is pretty tall. It's knee-high. We're down there, and we pull a bunch of wire, and we drive some T-posts, and we get the fence pulled back up, and I don't think much about it, and I might have, but I just didn't tell Bert because I'm kind of an asshole like that. I want to see how tough he was. So I sprayed a little bit off on my pants before we get out, and I just throwed it back in there and didn't say nothing to Bert. Well, at the end of the day, Bert goes home. We worked 10, 12 hours that day, and he goes home, and the next morning he shows up. I don't know anything about it. Next morning he's like, hey, man, I got these things on my legs that are itching like nobody's business. He is like, I mean, I didn't sleep at all last night. So I got to start chuckling. Crispy knows exactly what I'm talking about, man. In North Texas, the chiggers at certain times of the year are horrible. And if you've never been around or had chiggers on you, it is the most miserable feeling you've ever had. They'll generally get from your ankles up till you're about your knees, and they'll kind of spotty everywhere else. So anywhere any clothing's tight, they'd bite you, and it is the worst itching. You think a mosquito bite or poison ivy, that shit don't have nothing on chicken bites.
God.
Fuck. Bert literally scratched all the hide off his legs from his knees to his ankles and had a barbecue. He told me he had a barbecue brush, and he was scratching all the
really
bites. Standing naked in our pool, because the chlorine is the only thing
we have pool in our backyard. He says standing naked with a barbecue brush is scratching all the skin off.
Oh, wow. That was a damn sight.
Right?
Sexy sight.
It's a low point.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
That is crazy.
So now you guys, you're Bison Union Peacemaker and all this.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Oh, man, it's cool. It's really neat for me to be involved with Bert and you guys. You know, I mean, it's a path that I never expected that I would ever go down and get to be a part of. And man, I think it's great. I think my world, which is the ranch and farming industry and the veteran military world, I think they need to be a little closer knit and tied in a little better, which they're starting to be, in my opinion.
Well, I was going to say that. Like, that's what I get when I look at Bison Unit. It's ranching, Texas, not only Texas, but just like the outdoors and being a rancher, and then you still have some military presence in it. And I think it goes hand in hand with it. I mean, because that's the way that I grew up, and I know a lot of the guys that are listening probably grew up on a small farm.
Yeah, and you know, dude, a lot of people, like, the thought of being outside in the wilderness for extended periods of time, and the wilderness can be out in the middle of a pasture or something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that the concept of that, like, absolutely, they can't get their arms around it. Like, we'll go camping, or I'll go hunting or whatever, you know, in the backwoods or something, and hike in and pack in and set up camp for a few days. And, like, there's some people, the concept of that is they just, there's no way they could understand.
Yeah, because they're not used to it. They never experienced it. So it's this completely foreign concept. Yeah, for sure. It's like anything in life.
Well, yeah, it's like getting comfortable.
Are you talking shit to Ross right now? Because that's what I feel like you're doing, Baker.
No. I do. I mean, I would love to talk to Ross about one topic, but I'm not going to do it.
You can. Oh. Go feel fire away.
Well, I mean, it's about football. Urban.
God.
Of course. You know what? Urban's going to be fine. He'll be coaching. I think he gets a two-game suspension, and I think he's coaching this year.
If you got to take off, Buster, no worries.
All right, man. I appreciate
yeah,
y'all.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks for coming on. I mean, shit. For real, man. This has been one of the funnest shows ever, man. This was like back in the old days. We just have all our friends on and fuck shit up.
Love you, Bird.
Okay. Well, thanks, Buster.
Appreciate it. Thank y'all, man. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate that.
Nice chat with you.
Yeah, man.
Salt of the earth right there. Love you, Bert. Thanks, guys.
Matt and I do want to come ride a horse, though.
Yes, we will. We'll be up there. I'm going to buy some beef. I'm going to ride a horse.
Together. I'll be on the back. You'll be in the front.
Yeah.
Hell
sure.
Yeah.
You can sure, shirtless, however you want to do it.
Hell yeah.
And well, then I think Jared just left the studio.
Good.
Just,
good.
He was napping in the corner.
We're at the end of the show, so this is where we get to the drinking bro of the week. On episode 300. First of all, we want to thank all of our listeners for staying with us for 300 episodes. And the show keeps growing. Last month was actually our highest month ever. So thank you for continuing to listen. Thanks for telling your friends about it. More importantly, our drinking bro of the week this week for episode 300 is actually our drinking bros admins. If you don't know, the drinking bros was actually started by Jared Taylor. It was a Facebook group that has grown from one to over 100,000. There's a bunch of subgroups, and there's a bunch of administrators who have to monitor all of these just to make sure that there's no nudity or fuckery to an extreme level going on. And to all of our Drinking Bros admins who run all of these pages, we are unbelievably grateful. You are our Drinking Bros of the week for episode 300. Thank you for keeping the Facebook going and making sure shit doesn't get too wild in there. And
hey, Ross, can I ask a little bit on that?
Absolutely.
Today's National Purple Heart Day. So to all the guys out there that have one or two or 20, I guess enjoy your day at sucking at your job.
Oh,
boy.
Savage.
I can say that. I got two, okay?
And I would like to throw something out there. So in addition to being a friend, like I help with the Black Rifle Twitter. And I love Twitter. So listen, anybody out there has Twitter, make sure you're following Drinking Bros on Twitter. Ross does a phenomenal job with that. And then also make sure you're following Black Rifle on Twitter, BLCK, just BLCK, Black Rifle Coffee. Just make sure.
Look at that. Just plugging away. I like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Love me the drinking bros. Thanks for all the hard work. It's been a fucking fun ride, and there's just only going to be more fuckery and fun times to be had in community. So I'm super stoked.
Yeah, and we have no plans to end this anytime soon. So don't think that 300.
Fuck no.
Like, this will keep going, Ross, as long as we can.
Ross, how's the sports gig going?
It's doing great, man. Truthfully, it's only about 3,000 or 4,000behind the regular show, so it's awesome. And we didn't know there was that many sports fanatics out there, and it's rad. And we're coming to a city near you every 2 weeks.
Nice.
So on the first week of September, it starts. We will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're already in talks to meet up with all the drinking bros there to tailgate, go to the Eagles game and hang out. The September 15th, we will be in Dallas, Texas. For the Ohio State TCU game, Baker, we'd love to have you if you're in town. And then the following TCU. Night, we're going to the Dallas Cowboys Giants game as well.
Yeah, and then you guys are doing an interview with Corey Proctor, who played offensive lineman for the Cowboys for like 6 years.
Correct. Yes. And so every week there's a different celebrity, not necessarily from one singular sport. So it's for every sport. Fucking skateboarding. We had
you'll just have me on the MMA one. That's the only one.
We will. So by the way, that's the last one. So we're also going to be in Vegas for the Conor McGregor fights. So that'll be Dan, Matt, and I will be doing
Khabib.
We'll be doing a show live from the Conor Khabib fight.
Crispy's coming too. We just got verbal.
Yeah, I'm going.
Great.
That's one of the things though about Matt that is a mild irritant, like the MMA thing. Like, so what? Like if I were to go up to like Kit Cope or Jeremy Horn or Josh, I was like, man, I'll whip your ass. They'd be like, they just wouldn't acknowledge me. But like if you say that to you, you'd be like, oh really? You're gonna get a taste. You're going to get a taste of this today.
I just do that to you to have fun, you know?
Yeah, so, like, it's like you don't know how, like, good you are at that type of stuff. It's like, hey, Matt, I'll fuck you up. Oh, really? Have a taste. Here's a sampler.
Have you ever watched the fight with Matt and he, like, picks the whole fight and you're like, thanks, bro. Like,
what I pick? What do you mean pick the whole fight?
Like, you were just calling everything.
Commentating a fight.
Well, yeah, he's like, he should have done this, you should have done that. Oh, wait, this is coming. And I'm like, God damn it, Matt.
I'll shut up more.
What do you know?
I'm into it.
No.
I love the sport.
It's great. I like it, but I'm like, you know too much.
I did. I got Rogan a few times. I was like a couple seconds ahead.
And it was like Matt and then Rogan. And I was like, oh, cool.
No, but you're passionate about that. Like, I mean, you get into that.
Yeah.
I'm just a fan.
I actually like it when I watch a fight with people that really know what they're talking about. Because, I mean, I'm a pure white belt BJJ. I don't know shit. You know, I've just been doing it a few months. And watching high-level matches at my level of experience, I have no clue what's going on. And I don't know how things get set up. So, like, watching it with someone like Matt who knows what they're doing, it's actually quite informative.
But I'm nothing compared to some commentator. Those guys are so fucking well-versed and knowledgeable.
No, but it's fun going to a fight with
Matt. Some of them are too knowledgeable, man. Some of them are too knowledgeable.
Yeah, and it's fun going to a fight with you because you break down like undercards that are like up-and-comers that not a lot of people know about. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know about this? I'm amped to do that show with you, and it'd be great if Randy Couture.
Now I have to do all my fucking research for that card, so I don't sound like an asshole.
Well, I don't know if you did research on that card that we were watching, but you were calling out people. I didn't even know who they were. You were like, "This is so and so," and blah blah blah. I was like, "Oh, cool."
Just a fan.
Yeah.
Well, fuck yeah.
So
what a fun one.
So yeah,
thanks for being on, dude.
In a city near you every 2 weeks, going throughout the entire fall. So come out and join us in these cities, and we'd love to party with you. And we're also we have a mobile kit, so we're going to be doing these shows live from bars. So you can actually sit with us, grab a microphone. We'll talk to you on the show in your city. You can tell us about your favorite teams and/or athletes. This was an awesome show, Baker. Thanks for being on. Crispy, always a fucking pleasure.
Oh yeah. It was awesome, wasn't it, Ross?
Yeah,
and Jared's back.
Oh, Jared.
I know that's a hard one. So you got to be like for Jared Taylor, Evan Hafer, Baker. Omar,
Matt
Bert. Ross, Bert, and Buster.
Can he do it? Let's see how his announcing.
Absolutely. Here we go.
So don't say Omar, say Crispy.
All right, here we go. So for Crispy, Buster, Baker, Bert, Matt Best, Jared Taylor, Evan Hafer, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros, right? I made it. We did that.
Yeah. Well played. Well played.
Yeah, got it.
Nothing can stop us. We're all the way up.
Happy 300, everybody. Thanks for listening. Good night.